Welcome to God and Country Biblical Exposition. I'm a little late getting the program out this week. On Wednesday, I took my son to Kennedy Airport to ship him off to medical school. That took half a day. My son needed certain permission to make this trip. The country of the destination told him on the phone that they had no record of his application. So it looked hopeless, but after, waiting in line and trying to contact the authorities with his phone, right when he stepped up to the airline counter, the email actually came through that he was approved to enter the country. Just a little assurance from God that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The other interruption this week was that I've been fixing up the kitchen for my wife. We live upstairs in a church apartment, and the kitchen really needed some attention. So in my spare time, I've been sanding down the cabinets. And of course, the project is bigger than I expected, and there's not much spare time. So if you think about the pastor's life as being glamorous, think again. I have to cut the church lawn. My cars break down. The roof leaks. The floors sag. But somehow, through all of these mundane things, some of the work of evangelism and discipleship actually take place. Well, on this week's program, I'm going to take a break from the series I've been doing on the judgments in the book of the Revelation and look at a new story that's disconcerting for many. The new mask and vaccine mandates that the CDC, the president, governors, private companies are implementing now that there's a slight spike in COVID-19 cases, specifically this new Delta variant, which is alleged to be more contagious, but less fatal. Last year, when the crisis broke out, I did at least 9 programs addressing about every issue involved, the politics of it, the fear, the panic, the closing of churches, what the Bible has to say about plagues and pestilence. And I haven't addressed this issue for some time, but all of the media and the politicians are talking about COVID. That's all they can talk about. I was talking with a woman in my church who doesn't pay much attention to the news. And last week, she decided to watch the nightly news. And she was shocked by all of the COVID coverage. She had no idea that there was another crisis, which goes to show us how much the media influences public perception. If it weren't for the media, or if the media had a different agenda, nobody would even be thinking about COVID. We'd probably be talking about immigration or inflation. But if you have in mind conspiracy theories, maybe that's the plan. Look over here and not there. There are many likely reasons for all this hype. But so what? I mean, if that's all the media wants to talk about, if that's politicians, if that's all they want to talk about, we don't have to listen. We don't have to patronize their advertisers, but the rhetoric is creating fear and policies that are hurting people. Children have to wear masks in school all day long, and that's not helpful. I have members in my church who have to wear a mask all day at work, and that's debilitating. And now, because of the CDC recent guidance, companies are requiring workers to get vaccinated. All federal government employees are required to be vaccinated. Even if you've already had COVID and hence have developed natural immunities. Some people just don't want to stress their body out with more spike proteins after already having COVID. And many doctors are saying it's unnecessary to get the vaccine if you've already had COVID because natural immunities are more than sufficient, as in these articles I have flashed up here. But as expected, over the last few weeks, there have been a slew of articles now claiming that vaccine immunities are better than natural immunities. And that's questionable. Here's an article. People who already had COVID-19 should still get vaccinated, scientists urge. And I deplore these articles that claim scientists say or scientists urge. I mean, who are these people? You can always get somebody with a PhD to say anything or to say the opposite. So how are we to know? My guess is the reason the government and these private entities are requiring vaccines for all is because there's really no easy way to determine who has had COVID and who has not. So they're requiring everyone to get the vaccine and show proof of vaccination because it's more convenient for these companies and government entities. Well, in addition to the dangerous health conditions, in regard to these new masks and vaccine mandates, the people who are pushing back are bothered by the failed logic, the inconsistencies, the power grab. People don't want to be stooges for bureaucrats who make these policies because they feel they have to do something, because they have a statist paternal attitude. People would rather make their own health choices, take their own risks, than have some bureaucrat in Washington sitting behind a desk making the decision for them. There's always going to be a group of people out there who have too much fear over a situation. And why should that group control us all? Especially when we're dealing with a virus that is now no more fatal than the common flu. It's not as if we're dealing with the Black Plague in the Middle Ages that killed a third of Europe's population. JustFacts.com, the average death rate for people who contract COVID-19 is well below 1% and is much closer to that of the seasonal flu than figures that were commonly reported by the press. And about 180 million people have already been vaccinated. 85% of adults over 65 have been vaccinated. Given the 300 million people in America, that's about as good as you're going to get. Children and young adults don't need to be vaccinated. If they get COVID, it's like a bad cold for a week. 30% of the people who get COVID have no symptoms whatsoever. Again, we're not fighting the Black Plague or Ebola, especially with this weaker Delta variant. But the government response is panic. Here's an article. Washington, D.C. is now returning to mandating mask wearing in all public places. But in Washington, D.C., the 7-day rolling average of COVID cases is only 57. And there has only been one death related to COVID in all of July. If you have health issues and you're willing to take the risk of all of the side effects from the vaccine, get vaccinated. But that doesn't mean you're not going to get the virus. In the new study released by the CDC last week, 74% of the people in Massachusetts who recently came down with COVID were vaccinated. Now, that doesn't mean the vaccine doesn't work, because without the vaccine, maybe more would have come down with COVID. But just realize that the vaccine is only as good as your body's ability to create the antibodies against the COVID virus. So here's my confession. I have not been vaccinated, and people ask me why. Well, it's not because I'm afraid of the vaccine, and it's not because I think Big Pharma is in some conspiracy with globalists to wipe out the population. I haven't had the vaccine because I don't have comorbidity issues. The virus is not likely to be fatal in my case. I work from home. If I get it, I will likely not spread it. Plus, I believe in all likelihood that I already had the virus when my son contracted it a few months ago. I had a headache for a few days. That was it. My doctor gave me the ivermectin and a Z-Pak and all of that other good stuff. So I'll take my chances with natural immunity rather than this new RNA vaccine. And a verse that comes to my mind is 2 Samuel 24:14. Let us now fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great, but do not let me fall into the hand of men. In that text, a curse upon Israel was pronounced, and God gave David three choices. The nation would either experience 7 years of famine, or 3 months of defeat in battle, or 3 days of pestilence. And David chose, saying, "Let us now fall into the hands of the Lord, for his mercies are great, but do not let me fall into the hand of men." And God sent pestilence, or rather disease, and 70,000 people in Israel died. David would rather take his chance with God's work through the natural realm than with the works of men. Now, I am not one of these people who say, "I'm going to trust the Lord and not take any medicine or not go to the doctor," because that would be foolish. Because trusting God does not mean rejecting the means that God uses. It's like that old joke about the Christian whose town flooded and he was up on the roof, and the canoer came along and said, "Do you need any help?" And the Christian said, "No, I'm trusting the Lord." Then a pontoon boat came along. And again, the person said, "Do you need any help?" And the Christian said, "No, I'm trusting the Lord." Then a helicopter came along. And again, the Christian said, "No, thanks, I'm trusting the Lord." Well, the Christian drowns and he goes to heaven and he says, "Lord, why didn't you help me?" And the Lord says, "Well, I sent a canoer, a pontoon boat, and a helicopter. What more do you want?" When Paul escaped from the city of Damascus, book of Acts, the Christians let him down over the wall in the basket. Paul did not say, "I don't need the basket, I'm trusting the Lord." God ordains the results, but he also ordains the means. But having said that, there are some judgment calls we need to make in life. In regard to the efficacy of the supposed genius of the 21st century medical establishment, and politicians versus taking your chance with just healthy living. I mean, they want to give you a drug for everything today, and there's always side effects. So just a little bit of reluctance is in order. Actually, I was waiting to see if the vaccine worked, if there were reports of side effects before I took the virus. I mean, every study group needs a control group that doesn't get the medicine. So I'm volunteering to be that control group. Look how generous I am. I jest. But actually, there were a lot more people who were at risk and needed the vaccine before me. Now, there is a lot to talk about in regard to COVID-19. The mask mandates, the vaccines. But here's a preliminary issue. Is there really a Christian versus non-Christian approach to the situation? Can we say anything definitively from the Bible about all this? Or is this simply neutral ground that Christianity has nothing to say anything about? Joseph Boot, he's a Reformed theologian, and he has a little booklet out called The Gospel Culture. It's only about 100 pages. It's a quick read. And in one of the chapters, he addresses the error of R2K. Did you get that R2K? Another acronym that we need to learn. Not this guy, R2D2, but R2K, which stands for Radical Two Kingdom Theology. And it's a theology being pushed in liberal evangelical circles to justify non-Christian involvement in politics. And the teaching is that there are two kingdoms: the kingdom of God and the common kingdom of man. And the claim is that Christians ought not to impose their morals on the common kingdom. Our morals are only for the kingdom of God. Hence, Christians need to keep their pro-life and traditional marriage views in the church. And we can see the error here. The classic two-kingdom view of the reformers was, yes, there are two kingdoms: the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. But the kingdom of God must fill the earth, and the kingdom of God must rebuke and correct the kingdom of man or the kingdom of Satan. Psalm chapter 2, verse 6. The Lord says, but as for me, I have installed my king upon Mount Zion, my holy mount, the Messiah. And verse 10, now therefore, O king, show discernment, take warning, O judges of the earth. But this new radical 2K movement wants peace and accommodation with the world, not confrontation. Matthew chapter 10, verse 34 is ignored, where Jesus said, do not think that I've come to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. But one of the arguments of the R2K proponents is that there's no Christian way to change a diaper, or there's no Christian way to do stir fry. And these catchy one-liners are meant to lead you down the path thinking that Christianity doesn't have anything to say about many issues in this world. But as Joseph Boot points out, the very examples cited by R2K demonstrate that there is a Christian versus non-Christian view on these issues and on many other issues. In the ancient world, cynics would defecate in public to show their contempt for decency, and radical protesters also do that today. So Christianity does have something to say about how we use the bathroom. And in Deuteronomy 23:13, specific instructions are given in this matter. And when it comes to stir fry, certain cultures used to stir fry human flesh, cannibalism. So yes, Christianity has something to say about stir fry. These issues are not as non-religious as they first appear, and the same holds true to people's response to COVID-19. What would the response to COVID-19 be from a truly Christian society? What would it look like? Biblically, how would people respond? Now, I've heard some people say that if people were truly Christian, they would all mask up out of love for neighbor. A friend told me last week, a woman said to him, I have a real problem with people putting others at risk by refusing to get the vaccine during a global pandemic. Well, that response would be the Christian response if this were the Black Plague. If natural immunities didn't work, if mask wearing was actually effective. On the other hand, a truly Christian society might be tougher, might take greater risks, might put the priorities on other issues, like following God before following the science. This we do know about the Christian faith, and in regard to how it affects we live. Christians are cautious, but we know that unbelievers live with greater irrational fear. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 1. The wicked flees when no one is pursuing, but the righteous are as bold as lions. Psalm 53, 5. They were in great fear where no fear had been. And Leviticus 26, 36. As for those of you who may be left, I will also bring weakness into their hearts in the land of their enemies. And the sound of a driving leaf will chase them. And even when no one is pursuing, they will flee as though from the sword, and they will fall. So those who do not have the Spirit of the Lord are in panic over every little thing. They're unwilling to take many risks, and they have a great fear of death and loss. And this has to affect how some Americans are responding to COVID-19. The World War II generation endured great hardship, but our generation of snowflakes. One little virus comes along and all businesses have to shut. The government needs to hand out checks. Everybody has to wear masks. All schools are closed. It's not that the government should have done nothing, but it sure looks like an overreaction based on unnecessary, irrational fear. Something that would not have been done by a truly Christian people. Psalm 27:1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? And Psalm 112:7. He will not fear evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. But we see people wearing masks while driving in the car alone, wearing masks while jogging down the street. But what happens when people with those kind of fears make up 51% of the population? Or even if they're a strong, vocal minority? Well, it results in foolish policy. And this irrational fear actually goes both ways. In those who say you must get the vaccine at all costs, and those who are saying you must refuse to get the vaccine at all costs. There is fear and ignorance on both sides, on the side of the vaxxers and the non-vaxxers. I mean, I see nutty extremes in both camps. I know saying that doesn't make me popular, but that's the truth. Now, here's a second value that affects our policy and how we live. Christians believe in government, but the unsaved will abuse the power of government. The unsaved, not having God make government God, the unsaved naturally have an inordinate desire for power and control. Luke chapter 22, verse 25. And Jesus said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who have authority over them are called benefactors. But it is not this way with you. But the one who is to be greatest among you must become like the youngest, and the leader like the servant." The status mentality that Jesus describes will also result in foolish policy, wanting to lord over people. It'll result in an overreaction to a problem because politicians want to be too much in charge. And a third Christian value is that Christians have confidence, but the unsaved have too much unquestioning confidence in man. The unsaved walk in arrogance and pride and hubris. They assume that they can control and fix more things that they can actually control and fix. They put too much trust in man. Psalm 118. It's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. Or Isaiah chapter 2, verse 22. Stop regarding man, in whose breath of life is in his nostrils, for why should he be esteemed? And Isaiah 31, 3. Now the Egyptians are men and not God. And this was a problem in ancient Israel in her apostasy from God. She placed too much trust in the strength and the intelligence of man. Isaiah 19, verse 11. The prophet had to tell the people who were trusting in Egypt, a type of the world, that the princes of Zoan are mere fools. The advice of the Pharaoh's wisest advisors has become stupid. Verse 13, the princes of Zoan have acted foolishly. The princes of Memphis are deluded. Those who are the cornerstone of her tribes have led Egypt astray. So all of these factors, fear, control, hubris issues, affect policy. They affect why our leaders do what they do. And again, the Bible is not teaching that we should never listen to government or we should never listen to medical science. It's a matter of emphasis. When there's too much emphasis on what man can do, there will always be foolish policy. You know, my take on COVID-19 right from the beginning has been that there is just too much hubris. The political and the intellectual leaders are saying that they can beat this virus. They'll pass out money, they'll save the economy, they'll lock down businesses, they'll create a vaccine that's going to be foolproof. And this is just so typical of the hubris of those who soon discover that they're up against something that they really cannot do much about. They just have to let it run its course and leave it in the hands of God. And in the end, one has to wonder if the same number of people would have died anyway if the government did much less and if it left it up to the people to make their own healthcare decisions. The numbers are pretty much looking the same for those regions that had lockdowns and those regions that didn't. In Sweden, No lockdowns, no masking. And the COVID case results are about the same as the United States. Here's an article. Sweden now has a lower COVID-19 death rate than the U.S. Here's why it matters. Sweden's lighter touch COVID-19 strategy looks stronger with every passing week. Here's an article from RT.com. Mask-free Sweden nears zero daily COVID deaths as chief epidemiologist warns against far-reaching conclusions about the Delta strain. And here's an article from Technocracy. Masks are neither effective nor safe. A summary of the science. Here's another article. Biden COVID advisor, top epidemiologist, says cloth masks are ineffective. There's really no evidence that mask mandates have decreased cases. But still we see people walking down the street with masks. And it's become a modern form of an ancient talisman to ward off evil or an emotional crutch. You know, it's the hubris of this whole thing that's amazing. Where our leaders believe they're doing so much, but they're not. They're probably making matters worse. As the governor of South Dakota, Kristi Noem, said, the virus was not responsible for our economic collapse. The politicians were. I'm not offended by that statement, like some leftists would be. I see Noem's statement as a valid conclusion that really needs to be considered. But if you're a diehard statist, the government can do no wrong. Now, in regard to one's world affecting policy, here's an interesting piece from The Economist. Why people reject vaccines. Identifying the cause of vaccine hesitancy can help policymakers decide where to target their efforts. According to surveys and modeling by The Economist, the single greatest predictor of whether an American has been vaccinated is whether they voted for Joe Biden or Donald Trump last November. Now, that's not to say that only Trump voters are opposed to the vaccines. I mean, even Donald Trump was promoting the vaccine. But there's a high correlation between one's politics and one's response to COVID-19. In a recent Rasmussen poll, 66% of Democrats want mask mandates to remain, even for those who are vaccinated, but 66% of Republicans don't want mask mandates, even for those who are vaccinated. One's worldview affects one's approach to COVID. As in the case of Republican governors in red states are rejecting these new mandate guidances from the CDC, while Democrat governors in blue states are implementing these new mandates. Ron DeSantis, Republican governor of Florida last week, after the CDC put out its new guidance and President Biden enforced new mandates, DeSantis said people should make their own healthcare decisions. Quote from the Florida State House, Governor DeSantis believes that parents know what is best for their children. Therefore, parents in Florida are empowered to make their own choices with regard to masking. Experts have raised legitimate concerns that the risk of masking outweighs the potential benefits for children, because masking children can negatively impact their learning, speech, emotional and social development, and physical health, such as infection from bacteria that's often found on masks, difficulty breathing while exercising. Fortunately, the data indicates that COVID is not a serious risk to healthy children, which is why schools in most countries were among the first institutions to reopen. At the end of the day, the governor trusts parents to weigh the risks and benefits and make the best choices for their children. On the other hand, the Democrat mayor of New York City, de Blasio, after hearing the new CDC guidance, is again requiring masks in all public places and requiring all New York City workers to be vaccinated. And he is asking private companies to mandate vaccines and mask wearing at work. So why is this? Why the difference between these Democrats and Republicans? It's a different worldview. It's a different trust in man. If you believe that man is basically good, that science can solve all the problems in this world, you'll lean one way. But if you believe that man makes mistakes, that government is not always right, that science is limited, you'll lean a different way. I really find it interesting that our core moral values determine everything. Well, back to Joseph Boot's book, The Gospel Culture. According to Romans chapter 1, quote, Paul is explicit that there are ultimately only two possible directions for a culture. These two theological alternatives are mutually exclusive. One rests upon worship of the Creator, the other upon worship of the creation. It follows then that there is no such thing as a neutral culture. For on this Pauline basis, no institution and no cultural activity can ever be religiously neutral. There are many structures in God's creation, but only two directions. We are either oriented toward God or toward idolatry in marriage, family, church, state, art, science, and every other sphere. We will either seek to serve and glorify God in each area of life, or our lives will have an apostate direction with no central place for God and His Word. Many of those involved in politics have hearts and thereby convictions and ideologies that are hostile to God and His Word. Unquote, Joseph Boot. So realize what we are seeing in our culture, in its reaction to COVID-19 and many other issues, that this is the reaction, not of a godly people, but the reaction of Sodom and Gomorrah. In all of this talk about COVID, have we heard any talk about repenting and turning back to God? Of course not. It's all about following the science, because in our modern humanistic world, science is man's savior. Or rather, man himself is his own savior. To talk about God having any effect on this virus is considered foolish today, because apparently it's all up to us. But back to 2 Samuel 24, when the plague came upon Israel. So the Lord sent a pestilence upon Israel from the morning until the appointed time. And 70,000 men of the people from Dan to Beersheba died. When the angel stretched out his hand toward Jerusalem to destroy it, the Lord relented from the calamity and said to the angel who destroyed the people, "It's enough. Now relax your hand." The point? God is more in charge of viruses than mankind cares to admit. Now, Christians are not opposed to modern medicine, but modern medicine doesn't even come close to the spiritual reasons and the cure for pestilence. We all know 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. But do we know the sentence that comes before that verse? 2 Chronicles 7:13. Or if I send pestilence among the people, and my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Where is the national repentance in this pandemic? Where is the turning to God for help? Where is the calling for a solemn assembly? There is none. The main factor in this crisis is not the activity of the Chinese Wuhan lab. It's not the World Health Organization. It's not the CDC. It's not Moderna or Pfizer or Johnson & Johnson or any of the politicians. The main factor is God. God is the one who sends plagues. God is the one who saves some plagues. And Governor Cuomo's book, American Crisis, Lessons in Leadership from the COVID-19 Pandemic, demonstrates the hubris in our generation of leaders. It's God who sends pestilence, and He will even use the Wuhan lab as a secondary means. Amos chapter 3, verse 6. If a trumpet is blown in the city, will not the people tremble? If a calamity occurs in a city, Has not the Lord done it? In the Exodus wilderness wanderings, Exodus chapter 15, and Jehovah God said, if you will give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord your God, and do what is right in his sight, and give ear to his commandments, and keep all of his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have put upon the Egyptians. I, the Lord, am your healer. Jehovah Rapha. God wanted the people to know this truth after they arrived at the poisonous waters of Marah, that God and only God can heal. So let's not be duped by the media and the politicians into thinking that this is all about what man has done and what man can do. This is the hand of God. And all of our efforts will be overblown and futile if we don't turn back to God. And this is a good place to end. I have plenty of notes in front of me here. You know, I thought I could get to the subject of vaccine conspiracy theories and civil disobedience when it comes to mandates. But that's too much to do in this program. It looks like this break from my series on the Revelation is going to be a two-part series next week. I'll probably entitle my program Vaccine Conspiracy Theories, or Is Bill Gates Out to Destroy the Population of the World? But thanks for listening. Thanks for your prayers and your support. Subscribe, share, like, leave a comment below, and may Jesus Christ reign.